بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the second half of عمدة الأحكام. If you recall, the first half dealt with what is known as العبادات. And العبادات are the things that people do to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, which of course includes the five pillars of Islam. And we spoke about the fiqhi side of it, the side that deals with jurisprudence. So we spoke about purity, because without purity you cannot pray. And we spoke about prayer, because it is the most important pillar of Islam after the Shahada. And then we spoke about fasting and zakat and hajj, and we concluded all of that with the grace of Allah. Now, we deal with what is known to the scholars as al-mu'amalat. And mu'amalat is a general terminology that includes a lot of things, such as transactions, selling and buying, and what kind of selling and buying is haram. So we will talk about riba, we will talk about the forbidden types of transactions, and we will talk about things that deal with debts that also can have riba in them. We will talk about different types of transactions that are haram, pertaining to farming, for example, pertaining for just selling and buying, and what all these haram transactions revolve around. And we will go on to talk about different things, including marriages, divorces, iddah, which is a waiting period, including inheritance if people die, including bloodshed on the prescribed punishments, etc. All of these are considered to be in the category that deals with al-mu'amalat or transactions. The first we will talk about, inshallah, as in the kitab or in the book of Umdat al-Ahkam, and we may differ in the number of hadiths, because what I'm following is the commentary of Sheikh Abdullah al-Bassam, may Allah have mercy on his soul. And he may differ with the original text, but we will try to keep, inshallah, doing it in a way that would make it easier for us to comprehend. The compiler started with the book of al-buyur, and this means the book of sales. Al-bay' is to sell and buy, so sales. And why does he say sales? Because there are different types of transactions. When you buy and sell, some is halal, some is haram. So he is looking at it as a whole, as a number of different types of sales. What is the definition of al-bay'? It's exchange, money for money, to own permanently. Why to own permanently? Because we want to not include riba. Riba is exchanging money for money. But does there include something to own forever? No, you have to return it back with interest, as we will come and see, inshallah. طيب, anyone can buy and sell, true? Not true. There are conditions so that your sales can be permissible. It's not for anyone to come and sell. For example, if the brother comes and says, who wants to buy the Sheikh's iPad? Hey, what are you doing? Said, you just said selling is halal. So I'm selling. It's not yours. So you have to identify the conditions so you would know what is for me to sell and what is not for me to sell. The scholars give seven conditions. The first condition is mentioned in the Quran, which is approval of both parties. Allah Azza wa Jal said to the believers, do not consume your wealth unless it is by consensual approval. So the buyer and the seller, they have to approve, meaning that if there is force included, the sale is not valid. If someone comes and says, sell me your car, I said, I don't want to, and he puts a gun into my head, this is not consent from my side. I will sell it because I don't want to die. So there has to be consent from both parties and no forcing, even if not physical. Forcing can be mental. If your uncle comes and he says, you have to sell me this, and he is embarrassing you, he's making you feel embarrassed, and you don't want to sell, but he's forcing you, this sale is not permissible as well, because it is being some, in a way, forcing you to do it. The second condition is that the person doing the transaction, whether he's the one buying or selling, he has to be someone permissible to act. Who is the one permissible to act? The scholars say he has to be free, adult, meaning reaching the age of puberty. He has to be sane, and he has to be wise. A slave cannot buy and sell. Why? Because the slave is the property of the master. So if a slave goes to the market driving his master's car and he wants to sell it, no, this is not permissible. You don't have authority to sell yourself. You don't own yourself. Your master owns you. Yeah, this is my car. This is my watch. No, this is not applicable. He has to reach the age of puberty, even if he's a multimillionaire. We have a multimillionaire child of 9 years old. He goes to a building. He says to the owner, I want to buy your building. Or he says, this building is mine and it is his. And he says, khalas, I'll sell it to you for 5 rupees. Is this applicable? No, because he is not entitled to buy and sell, except for things that are negligible, things that people accept and would not be considered to be a waste of time or money, such as if he goes to the bakery and he buys a loaf of bread, the owner of the bakery would not say, I cannot buy and sell from you. Go and bring your father. No, bread is something negligible. Soft drink is something negligible. Some sweets or candy. But if he wants to buy something that is important, no. So he has to be an adult. Thirdly, he has to be sane. So if someone runs away from mental hospital and he's crazy and he wants to buy and sell, is this applicable? No, it's not applicable. Fourthly, he has to be wise. What is the meaning of wise? Meaning he is a person who can estimate things. So something that cost 1 euro, he would not buy it for 100. And something that costs 100, he would not sell it for a euro. Someone who's in his right mind and wise who can know. We said that there are how many conditions? 7. We mentioned the first one, consent. Second one, that is the person is approved and in a good condition to have this transaction. And this has 4 things under it. To be free, to be reaching the age of puberty, to be sane, and also to be wise in making his decisions. So now we move on to number 3. To be able to buy and sell, the good you are buying and selling, it has to be permissible, it has to be useful, it has to be useful without a necessity. Permissible, meaning, can I buy and sell something that is haram? Is it permissible to buy intoxicants, for example, drugs, cigarettes? No, these are forbidden things, so I cannot buy and I cannot sell. It has to be useful. So something that is not useful, that Muslims do not get use of. It's not haram, but the thing is not useful. Can you give me an example? Something that is not useful, but it's not haram. I'll give you an example. Someone goes to another and says, oh, mashallah, you have lots of roaches in your house. They're dirty, but you have 100. How much will you send me 100 for? Who buy cockroaches? Is this haram? He said, I'm not saying it's haram. It is useless. There's no use for it. Therefore, it is not permissible for you to buy or to sell. And there are things that are useful, but only in necessity. So this is also not permissible to buy and sell. And the example that scholars give is for a dog. Is dog permissible to use in necessity or generally? Only in necessity. When? In hunting, in a shepherd dog for the herd, or in protecting and guarding a farm. So these are permissible, but is it permissible to buy and sell? The answer is no, as we will come, inshallah, to discuss later on. Fourthly, among the conditions that we have to discuss is that those who are doing the transactions have to be owners. Because the brother cannot sell what he does not own. And we will elaborate, inshallah, after the break. So stay tuned.